here with you. Oh, and hang on a second there, Julia.
And Julia.
Julia is with us as well, sitting in for Mark, who is vacationing down in Florida. Maybe he's listening to us tonight on WFLA down there. I don't know. But welcome to the program, the show about your calls. You call in about absolutely anything. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. We're going to start things out here with a guest tonight. He is a free market economist and anarcho-capitalist associated with the Austrian school. At least, Dr. Walter Block, that is what Wikipedia says about you. How would you describe yourself?
That's a pretty good description. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, welcome to the program tonight. We basically had you on because of popular demand. Normally don't have guests here on Free Talk Live, but a lot of people were asking for you. And so I finally broke down and decided to make this happen. So I'm glad you're here, and I've got your book in my hands. Unfortunately, I've never had the chance to read it quite yet. It's in my stack of two reads, but it is just a it is one of those books that you that is really outrageous looking, defending the undefendable. What is this book, Dr. Block?
Well, it's really just an attempt to promote the libertarian philosophy. And libertarian philosophy is predicated on two basic premises. One is the non-aggression axiom. The non-aggression axiom just means keep your mitts to yourself. Don't be putting your fingers in your neighbor's pocketbook. Don't be putting your fingers around his throat.
Mm-hmm.
The second axiom of libertarianism is property rights. Because we need property rights, because if you're putting your fingers in your neighbor's pocket, you might be innocent of a crime if he stole stuff from you yesterday and put it in his pocket and you're just returning it to yourself. So we have to have a theory of property rights, which is based on homesteading and voluntary trade. So that's sort of libertarianism in a nutshell. And what I'm doing in this book is defending all sorts of people who are hated, reviled, people disgusted at them, they're called criminals, but they don't violate the libertarian axioms. And as long as they don't violate the libertarian axioms, what they do is sometimes disgusting, and sometimes I wouldn't want it done to me, or I wouldn't want to engage in it myself, but my thesis is that it's improper to make criminals of them, like
yeah.
They might be engaging in victimless crimes. Not real crime.
So, I mean, just to give our listeners some idea of what we're talking about here, you list in the book a number of different types of people that are just reviled by many people around the country, around the world. I mean, people like prostitutes, pimps, blackmailers, ticket scalpers, and moneylenders. I'm picking some of these out here. A slumlord. I mean, what would you have to say about a slumlord?
Well, what is a slumlord first? A slumlord is a person who engages in renting slummy buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you engage in the rental of slummy buildings, the question I ask is, are you per se violating the libertarian axiom? And I can't see my way clear to thinking that you are, because assuming no fraud, in other words, you're not renting something at luxury levels and, you know, it's really a rat hole. But, you know, the tenant comes in and sees a rat hole and says, okay, I'll take it because the rent is very cheap. Well, that's what a slumlord does. The slumlord rents slums to people, and then do-gooders and lefties and people who don't know any economics come around and say, aha, this is a slum. You're exploiting your tenants. You're not giving them hot and cold running water. There are rats here or whatever it is that makes up for the slum. And the answer is, well, yeah, that's true, but he didn't violate the libertarian axiom. He didn't pick up his fist or a gun and smack somebody with it or shoot somebody
so
with it.
So you're saying that a slumlord isn't committing any sort of crime against humanity or anything like that because he's operating on a completely voluntary basis. He may be a scumbag. He may be a lowlife, and his tenant, the tenants may be less than pleased with the deal they ended up deciding to get themselves into, but they made that choice is what is kind of what you're pointing out here.
What it really boils down to is, it, even for someone who doesn't really understand the libertarian philosophy, it's just a contractual agreement, and if both parties are clear on the terms of the contract, I will rent you this disgusting rat hole with no running water in exchange for $100 a month, then there was really no crime committed.
Right. You sound pretty good.
Thank you.
You sound like a libertarian. You've got it. I wouldn't call them scumbags, although many people do, but these are the do-gooder types. I would just say that he's an honest businessman renting a very low-level, low-quality product. But, you know,
sometimes, I mean, to be fair, though, not that I've ever lived in a slum, but I do have the understanding that some landlords are better than others at, say, fixing some of the problems with their buildings, regardless of what level they're kept up at. But if you've gotten into a rental situation and someone has told you they're going to be taking care of things as a landlord, and then they decide to make you wait a month before they fix the hot water, that kind of thing, I think those are the types of people who tend to get labeled as a slumlord, and that is kind of scummy behavior, not taking care of your property.
I would say that's fraudulent behavior, and fraud is a form of theft. In other words, if I sell you 10 pounds of potatoes and it turns out there are 10 pounds of rocks in the bag, in effect, I've stolen your money. And that's fraud. But let's take somebody who sells, crap or rocks or slummy apartments, and you ask, well, will you be fixing the hot water? And the guy says, no, take it as is, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fraud. It's a very low quality service. But suppose I sell you rotten bananas. Rotten bananas are pretty lousy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they rotten? I say, you're darn tootin', they're rotten. But I'm selling them to you for a penny a piece or some very low price. Well, why am I a scumbag? Why am I just selling you crappy stuff or bad stuff? And by the fact, as Julia said, that both parties agreed, we can infer, if we're economists, that both parties gain, at least in the ex ante sense. So there's nothing untoward going on here. There's nothing scummy or scumbaggy or whatever the word is. It's just selling low-level inferior merchandise.
So, Dr. Block, you have a website of your own that you like to promote, or is there somewhere our listeners can go to visit you online, perhaps read your writings, that sort of thing?
Well, a lot of my writings are on the Mises web, M-I-S-E-S. Just go to Mises.com. Mm-hmm. I have my own website, WalterBlock.com. But the Mises has got a lot more of my stuff than I have myself. For example, they'll probably be picking up this interview, so if somebody misses the interview, they can get it from there.
Okay, great.
But let's talk a little, if it's possible, let's talk just a little bit more about the slumlord.
Sure.
The reason we have public housing is because do-gooders were unhappy with what was called tenement housing.
Mm-hmm.
Tenement housing was high rises, maybe 6 or 8 stories high, railroad flats with maybe cold water, maybe not hot water, and they were relatively safe. People were there. They were, they had no better place to go to. The rents were very low. But the do-gooders decided that this is unconscionable, unacceptable, scumbaggy, if I can use that word. And what they did is they ripped them down, and you know what they did instead? They put up public housing.
Which turned into absolute garbage.
I'm sorry?
Which turned into eventually absolute garbage as far as
yes, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely garbage.
And there's an element of force, of course, behind the public housing, whereas with, as you pointed out, with a slumlord, it's all a completely voluntary arrangement. We're all forced by the threat of violence to pay for these government housing projects. Whereas if as you call them, the do-gooders, I don't know if that's necessarily an appropriate term, because they're not doing good, they're doing evil by forcing people to pay for their ideas. If they actually had a good idea, they could have gone out, funded it themselves, and created their own better apartments that people could have had at affordable rates, but that's not how they work. Dr. Block, hang on. We're going to bring you back here. If you've got a question for him, you can spend a little bit more time with us, yes?
Oh, yes.
Hopefully.
Yes.
All right, great. Hang on. 800-259-9231.
They say we're hated for our freedoms. Their solution? Take away our freedoms.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
They spend both your lives and your money with reckless abandon.
We're out of money now. We're operating in deep deficits.
One organization dares to dream of a world where nations compete for citizens instead of enslaving them. The Seasteading Institute is looking for pioneers to homestead the high seas and take civilization to the next level. Join the revolution at seasteading.org.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold, hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
AlecKeys.com is a community for self-learners. At AlecKeys, you'll find tools to help you connect with people learning the same things you're learning, tutor other community members, and to make contacts that can help you find jobs. You can also earn money by sharing your know-how with others and contributing quality content. Visit AlecKeys at alekese.com. Again, that's alekese.com.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope. Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Have you heard about American Free Press? American Free Press, the only national newspaper that endorsed Ron Paul for president. American Free Press, written by patriots for patriots, standing firm for our Constitution, standing firm against the New World Order, hammering the enemies of freedom, exposing the intrigues of the global elite. American Free Press hits the Bilderbergers and Trilateralists and the whole Council on Foreign Relations gang head on. Here's your chance to catch up with the news from American Free Press. Get a free subscription to our online newsletter. Just go to our website and sign up. The address is simple, AmericanFreePress.net. It's just like it sounds. American Free Press, all one word, .net. Once again, that's AmericanFreePress.net. American Free Press, the voice of the Second American Revolution.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Free Talk Live. It's your show, the Saturday edition. You can bring up whatever's on your mind at 800-259-9231. Though, if you've got a question for our special guest, Dr. Walter Block, your calls will be given priority at this moment because he is with us. The number again, 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features, they are completely free. Those features include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who have taken the time to send us their validated photo and proof they listen to the show. See them at shrine.freetalklive.com. If you are a lady listener interested in joining the Shrine, the details are there for you, shrine.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, coming up in less than a week's time. At this time next week, we'll be broadcasting live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Julia, you'll be coming out to join us. Mark will be there. Most all of the Free Talk Live crew, of course, hundreds of liberty-minded people will be getting together in Lancaster, New Hampshire at, I think it's Rogers Campground, and hanging out and socializing and enjoying one another's company for an entire weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're looking forward to it very much, so it's going to be an absolute blast. Great opportunity to come up as an excuse to see New Hampshire, tour around the state, find out what these crazy Free State Project members are all about, because they're an interesting and really awesome group of people. So make a point of going to porkfest.com. That's porkfest with a C. Porkfest.com and getting registered and get up here for next weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, we bring back Dr. Walter Block. You're in Louisiana, is that right?
I'm a professor at Loyola University, New Orleans, yes.
Okay, all right, very good. So we're talking about Defending the Undefendable. It's your book, and it's kind of, an older book. In fact, one of our listeners has a question for you. We're going to get to some calls here about what your past was like, Dr. Block, and how you came to where you are as far as your philosophy is concerned. We're going to get to that here in one moment. But first, let's talk to lady listeners first. Margie is in Michigan listening to WTKG. Margie, you're on with Dr. Walter Block.
Thank you. Dr. Block, I'm interested in hearing more about the libertarian view of property rights, because if I live in a nice house, and a slumlord buys the house next door to me and decides not to keep it up very well, and suddenly I have rats in my house that I didn't used to have, and then my property value goes down. How is that a sort of victimless crime?
Well, if your friendly neighbor brings rats to you, that's sort of like trespass. It's almost like if he were to burn coal, thick sulfur coal, and send the pollution over to your house, that's really a trespass, and that would be a violation of property rights.
That's an interesting question, by the way. A great question, Margie.
It's a very, very good question.
What's the libertarian remedy in that kind of situation?
Right. Well, I was getting to it in my roundabout professorial way. I can never answer a question directly, because if I did, they'd kick me out, so I've got to prevaricate. I'm glad you're laughing. I didn't mean that seriously. You don't really own the value of your house. For example, if hippies move in next door and they don't do anything of a pollution type thing, it's just that they look hippie-ish, and the value of your house declines, well, that libertarians would not count as a property rights violation, so it's sort of tough on you. However, there are libertarian remedies, and the remedies are restrictive contracts or condominium contracts. What you do is you, let's say I have a 5-mile square and I'm going to put in 3,000 houses. And what I do is I don't sell you just the house, but I sell you the house and membership in a condo. So you can't get somebody next door who's going to paint his house pink and blue polka dot, or, you know, be too hippie-ish or whatever it is that you think will lower your property values. So in economics, this is sometimes called external diseconomies, where somebody moves in next door, and if it's loud music, that's very, very loud music, that's a property rights violation, like noise pollution. But there are always continual problems, you know. A guy has a party Saturday night and it's a little loud, and, you know, what about that? Well, that's why you have condominium associations and restrictive covenants, to protect yourself against neighbors who can lower your property values, even though you don't own your property values. You only own the physical sanctity of the house, so to speak.
So, Dr. Block, would you say it's kind of a buyer beware situation where if you are somebody who privacy is very important, quiet is very important, being able to know what colors your neighbors can paint their homes is very important to you, then it's it behooves you to do your due diligence and research the areas that you're looking to move to and find something that is suitable rather than just throwing caution to the wind and, you know, buying a house in some sort of unrestricted area, which is, of course, what I like to do because I like to have the freedom to control my property.
Well, I think one of the important things to point out here is that when we're talking about libertarian philosophy, we're talking about living in a society that's completely unlike the one that we live in right now, where there is a really small, limited government. And obviously, since you asked it, this is a real-life concern. So there would, in the absence of government agencies like zoning boards and things like that, neighborhood organizations where people would be required to agree to certain terms living in certain neighborhoods would absolutely spring up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't really think it's a matter of buyer beware because the market helps buyers in all sorts of ways. See, one of the problems that we have now is that we have public roads and streets and highways, and in a purely free society, according to at least my latest book, we would have all of that privatized, and these private road owners would have an incentive to make sure that the value of the property abutting their road is higher rather than lower, and would naturally act as a benefactor for the buyer. It's sort of like in restaurants. You go into the restaurant, even if we didn't have government certification of food, we would have private ones, like McDonald's goes around to all their McDonald's places and makes sure that the bathrooms are clean and there are no roaches in the kitchens or whatever. Because if there are, the capital value of McDonald's will plummet, and they've got every incentive to make sure that it's good. Whereas if you have government certification agencies or zoning boards and they make a mistake, well, they're still in business.
Yes.
So we're much better off relying on private alternatives to support consumers or renters or house owners or whoever.
Margie, any other thoughts for Dr. Block?
Yes. I live in a very large urban historic preservation district,
and we have
pretty strict rules about not what color you can paint your house, but you can't put a solarium on the front of your house that juts out 40 feet in front. And those historic laws help to keep our values high there, and you know what you're getting into when you buy a house there, that this is the way it has to be. So it's very much like you're saying, Dr. Block, that
the difference there, though, and I'll let Dr. Block comment here in a moment, and I thank you, Marcia, for the call, is that while you're saying you know what you're getting into, it's not always true. First of all, I'd like to point out that the place I live installed a historic district after I moved in. Now, luckily, I didn't get included, and my property didn't get included in the historic district, but I had no idea that was going to happen, and I don't get the opportunity to say no thanks because it's government. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass
filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
This is Free Talk Live, your show, Saturday edition. Bring up anything at toll-free number 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
Oops. You know what? You're on the third mic, and it always throws me off.
And Julia.
Julia is with me, graciously sitting in for Mark, who's down in Florida at the moment. 800-259-9231. Right now, if you've got a question for Dr. Walter Block, your calls will be given priority because he is on the line with us, calling from Louisiana, where he works at Loyola University. He's a free market economist and anarcho-capitalist. And we're going to get to some more of these calls here. But before we go on, Dr. Block, I'd like to have you address our last caller's point, Margie, who was talking about property rights and in a libertarian kind of world. And she mentioned at the very end of her call the idea of a historic district, saying, you know, she feels good about the historic district because it protects our values, and that she knew what she was getting into. And I just wanted to hear what you would have to say to that.
Well, I agreed entirely with your point that a lot of people buy into a house and then it's later historically districtized over their dead bodies, or I'm not putting it right, but they put in the historic district after they bought it without any buyer leave, so it's very different. New Orleans is, in some ways, at least some parts of New Orleans, are really antique houses from 200-300 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them the way they are does help tourism because if, you know, it's just high rises, some of the unique attractiveness of New Orleans would be lost. But there's no reason that this couldn't be done on a free enterprise, and
sure,
as you say, it would be done in a voluntarily on a voluntary basis on a free enterprise. And it would be done more efficiently under free enterprise.
Well, don't you think, Dr. Block, that the reason is laziness. I mean, as far as the reason why these things are forced down people's throats, for instance, I mean, if they want to form a historic district, it takes a lot more effort to go around and make offers to everybody and try to get them to voluntarily assent to those sorts of rules for their property. And if they don't want to agree, then to buy them out and buy the property yourself and then keep it up as a historic property instead of what they do, which is just use the threat of violence from the state and say, all right, now you must obey this, you know, this set of strictures as far as your property is concerned. Isn't it just pure laziness?
Well, I think laziness plays a part in it, and it's a lot easier to win a majority vote than a unanimous vote. In the marketplace, the unanimity rules. If there's one holdout, then there's nothing you can do about the holdout. Whereas in the government, if there's one holdout and 99 people want to make their houses into the historical district, they can just force the other guy into doing it, and this isn't right.
Right.
So libertarians are sticklers for justice, and it's tyranny of the majority to force one person, when 99 people vote against them, to do the will of the 99.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't have time to call her because we were short on time in that last segment on it, but I wanted to call her on her claim that it was protecting our values, and I don't know who she's including in our, but I like the idea of property being able to progress and move forward into the 21st century and not have to be old and outdated, and I'm not the only one who feels that way, but apparently with a historic district, the only people whose values count are those that value old houses. Did we lose you? Dr. Block? I think we did lose him. So I'll tell you what, we will do our best to get him back here in moments. Julia, your thoughts on any of this? Any input?
On any of this?
Okay, just I figured I'd check with you before we moved on here. 800-259-9231, we continue. We're going to go to, guest Ben is in the UK. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Ben. Ben.
Hello, hi. The question I was going to ask about the whole defending the undefendable or whatever his book was called is, you've got some of these issues like the sex issues, say, with younger people, or the issues of voluntary cannibalism, which I guess as a libertarian, someone like you, Mark, but you, Ian, would say are okay for someone to do. But how do we approach talking about those to other people? Because, as Mark liked to point out when he was there, if you just say cannibalism or children and sex in the same sentence, people immediately freak out and think you're a weirdo.
Well, I don't know how often it is that cannibalism comes up in conversations about liberty. Julia, have you ever encountered anyone bringing that up when you've talked to them about freedom?
Never.
Does that happen to you, Ben? People bring up cannibalism?
It has come up, but it wasn't discussions about liberty as much, so it's an issue I could easily have sidestepped.
Well, I'll tell you what, he hasn't been in on the conversation here because I was busily trying to dial him up on the line. I think we actually have Dr. Block back with us. Are you there?
I am. I'm back now, yes.
Okay, welcome back. The question on the line here from Ben in the UK is, what about cannibalism and child sex? That's the short version.
Well, let's take cannibalism first.
Okay.
If I just go out of my house and go to the street and the next passerby I start chomping on him, well, that's a violation of rights. So whether I shoot him or kill him or just bite him, biting is an offensive thing, and it would be a rights violation. Now, suppose there are five of us and we're marooned on some desert island and rescue will come in a month and we'll all be dead in a month. Unless we eat one of the five of us, and suppose all five agree and say yes, we'll pick, you know, based on dice or short straws or something like that. And the guy who loses agrees to be eaten by his four buddies. Well, that would be legitimate. Am I still on the line?
You are still here.
Ah, good. So voluntary cannibalism, and there are some cases where people get lost here or there. That would be legitimate as long as all agreed, and they would each have an incentive to agree, because if they didn't agree, they'd all die. Whereas if they agreed, each would have an 80% chance of life and a 20% chance of being the eaten one. So I think that's okay.
Ben, does that answer your question?
Yeah, let's talk about child sex now. Or
okay, let me see. Ben, did I get your question answered?
The other part was, given that that's the libertarian perspective, that it can happen on a voluntary level, how do you tell people that without completely freaking them out? Like, voluntary cannibalism is okay, or voluntary child sex could be okay, and people just immediately freak out. How do you recommend stepping around that?
Could you hear me?
I sort of heard it vaguely, and if I hear it correctly, it's this doesn't sound very appealing. We'll turn off the masses.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not really that concerned about turning on the masses. I'm more concerned about the truth. And if the truth hurts, and if the masses are such that they'll say, oh, you know, fooey on libertarianism because we favor cannibalism, well, you know, what can I say? I did say that coercive cannibalism or initiatory cannibalism or cannibalism without permission is a crime. And I said if there are these weird cases where people are marooned, and if the average person says, well, I'm rejecting libertarianism because of that, well,
what can you do?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't like a lot of other portions of the philosophy.
No doubt about it.
They have a problem with something like that.
Ben, thank you for
life-saving, because if you allow this, then people, everyone has an 80% chance of life.
In the island
scenario. And if you don't allow it, they all die. And, you know, the critics have to say, well, we're in favor of mass murder.
Well, you're bringing the island scenario up, but, I mean, a real-life example was the story in Germany from a few years ago where, and Ben, thank you for the call tonight, the story in Germany where somebody did find a voluntary victim for cannibalism, and they came to an agreement, and he got eaten, and then later on down the line, the guy that ate the other gentleman ended up going to jail for it, and so I don't want to spend money to put somebody in a jail cell that has voluntarily entered into an agreement with somebody else to engage in that behavior. It may be despicable behavior. It may be very bizarre, but it shouldn't be illegal. Dr. Block,
I think bizarre is a better word than despicable. If it's an agreement, who are we to say? But it certainly is bizarre. I'll
okay, all right. Hang on. We're going to bring you back here. More with Dr. Block in moments. Your calls as well. Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, the Saturday edition of the program. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. Again, that is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian joining you.
And Julia.
And you can join us on our website. If you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in, reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations around the country, bring more internet listeners on board, expose new people to the ideas of freedom. And some of them can be a little scary, like, well, cannibalism hardly ever comes up, but somebody called in about it tonight, and so we, you know, addressed it as, I think, intellectually, honestly as possible, and we've got Dr. Walter Block on the line with us here tonight to do the heavy lifting. Dr. Block, welcome back to Free Talk Live.
Thanks for having me. It's interesting. I am now writing just today a new Defending the Undefendable, tentatively called Defending the Undefendable 2, and you'll never guess which chapter I'm working on right now.
Cannibalism.
Cannibalism, yeah.
How about that? So you pointed out that voluntary cannibalism, that's all right, but all the other forms of cannibalism which involve a victim who has not consented to be a victim, then that's clearly it's not appropriate. That is wrong.
We can have a campaign poster, voluntary cannibalism can save lives.
So let's move on to Ben's other question, because we do have another call for you.
Yes.
But his other question was about child sex.
Well, in America, in our present society, I think that when you have an underage girl or an underage boy?
Statutory rape.
I think statutory rape is reasonable, and with statutory rape laws are reasonable. There's always a continuum problem. You know, where do you set it? I mean, we know that a 3-year-old girl can't give consent. So if you sexually involve yourself with a 3-year-old girl, you should go to jail or be punished or whatever the punishment is. Whereas if you voluntarily involve yourself with a 23-year-old girl or a woman, that's legitimate because 23 is way over the right age. But what is the right age? Is it 13? 15, 17.
No one will ever agree on that. That's one of the biggest problems. And in the meantime, what we have is an epidemic in this country of 18, 19, 20-year-old guys who are dating 16, 15, and you know, younger girls who in many cases are engaging in fraud. A lot of these teenage girls are pretending as though they're older than they actually are in order to do who knows what with these guys. And then they find out down the line that they were misled or even even if they didn't know they were misled and they'd still voluntarily consented to sexual activity with these young ladies, and of course it does go the other way, but it's mostly the guys that are going to jail, then they end up in a jail cell with a criminal record for doing something that was completely consensual. Of course, around the country, ages of consent range from as low as 16 up to 18. It used to be 14 in Hawaii. Canada used to have it as 14 for the longest time, and they didn't have a problem with teenage pregnancies like the United States has and does. So it's just an absolute mess, and when you talk to people about it, they'll all have different ideas to what the right age should be. Perhaps, Dr. Block, should it be something that's decided by an arbitrator who can actually, instead of just judging by the law on the books, can actually look at the specifics of the case, talk to the people involved, and you know, the arbitrator make the decision as to whether or not this person was taken advantage of?
I would suggest would be, I mean, if you're to live in this society like we currently have, where there are laws but court systems sort of as we have it, I would imagine the way I think that it should run at least would be that where what we currently have, the state goes after people. You know what I mean? Like if a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old have sex with each other and one of them happens to get pregnant, then not only do they have to deal with that pregnancy, but if it's one of the states where that's against the law, the state can choose to go after a person like that, and then they're sex offenders for life.
Without having someone press charges, you mean?
Right. That's what I'm saying is if we were to have some sort of a system, if we had a system where the only way that could be done is if somebody actually pressed charges against somebody. So, like, I'm 14. I had sex with my 16-year-old boyfriend. I felt violated. I feel like that they're really the only person that can make that claim, and that some arbitrary group like government sitting around in a room saying, okay, once you're 14 years old, you are okay to make those sorts of decisions by yourself. Like, that doesn't really jive with me, because I consider myself to be a much more mature 14-year-old than other 14-year-olds that I knew, and I was a much more mature 17-year-old than other 17-year-olds I knew. And if we're making decisions based on, you know, the average person, well, then I kind of get screwed in that situation.
See, the problem is if you set it in at any age, let's say 16, which is not an unreasonable age, there are some people younger than 16 who are more mature than other people who are older than 16 or less mature. One possibility is to have free enterprise courts, and we know that competition brings about a better product. We libertarians don't have to solve every issue. We have to favor, I think, private courts, which would do a much better job.
Right.
One of the points I think you're making is, suppose it's 16, and now you have a boy who's 16 and 1 month, and a girl who's 15 and 11 months. They're just 2 months apart. And now, he can be accused of statutory rape. I think that we ought to also, maybe, I'm speculating, the free enterprise law also ought to take into account not just the 16 cutoff, but how old the guy is. Like, there seems to me to be a difference between a boy who's 16 years and 1 month and a girl who's 15 years and 11 months on the one hand, and a 15-year-old girl, a 15 and 11-month-old girl, and a 50-year-old man. It seems that the latter would be taking more advantage of her than the former, but this is sort of
speculation. But it all depends, though, doesn't it? Depend on the circumstances.
Yeah. I mean,
this is one of the reasons
we can have a situation where the 50-year-old man is innocent. But these are very big complications, and I think one mistake is sometimes made to think that libertarians have to answer all questions better than anyone else. These are very difficult questions. There are continuum problems. But let me mention something that is very radical libertarian. If I had a 3-year-old daughter, and I was in a starving situation where we were going to starve, and there was this pedophile who wanted to take advantage of her, I would rather that she engage in sex with this rich guy than died. So that's, we could even have an exception
talk
there.
Talk about a what-if scenario that is pretty unlikely, although I see where you're coming from on that. Let's go quickly here to Steve in Pennsylvania. You're on with Dr. Walter Block.
Well, Ian, hello, Dr. Block. How are you doing?
Julia's here, too. Go ahead, Steve.
Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Dr. Block. Hi there. Dr. Block, I understand that you actually came to libertarian while you were in college, but I also understood that you were partially, possibly even leaning towards a communist at that time. And I think it'd be helpful for all of those who are trying to spread the ideals of liberty and how you came to libertarianism from your extreme left-wing start.
Good question,
well,
Steve. Thank you.
I'm Jewish, and I was from New York City, and to say a New York City Jew leftist is almost a redundancy. All of us were that way, and I just guess I fell into that sort of thinking. I was a student at Brooklyn College. I was a senior in college, about 21 years old, and Ayn Rand came to lecture, and I came to boo and hiss her because she favored free enterprise, and as we all knew, we socialists, you know, free enterprise is evil. And after the lecture, there was an announcement that the Ayn Rand study club that had invited her to speak was having a luncheon in her honor, and everyone was invited, whether you agreed or not. And I didn't have enough booing and hissing at her, so I came to the thing. And there was this long table of about 50 people, 25 on a side, and I was relegated to the foot of the table. I turned to my neighbor and I said, hey, this capitalism is no good, socialism is better, what do you say? And he said, well, I don't really know, but the people who do are at the other end of the table. So I went at the other end of the table, and I stuck my head in between Ayn Rand's and Nathaniel Brandon's, and I said, there's a socialist who wants to debate people on this. And I said, oh, yeah, who's that? And I said, it's me. And Brandon was very gracious. He agreed to come to the other end of the table where there was a seat for him, my end of the table.
Walter, I have to tell you, you've got to fast-forward the story to, like, less than 30 seconds.
And he said that he would do this under two conditions. One, that I read two books, Atlas Shrugged and Economics in One Lesson. And the other, that we continue this conversation until we finish it. And I did. I met him four or five times with Ayn Rand, and I read the two books, and that's how I got converted.
That's an amazing story. And I thank you for taking the time to sit in with us here tonight on Free Talk Live, answer some what I think were some very good questions this evening. And we're going to go on to discuss teenage prostitution here in moments. I'm sure that you would find that to be something you could defend as well. But unfortunately, we're out of time for this hour. So, Dr. Walter Block, people can get in touch with you one more time. Your website, if you don't mind.
WalterBlock.com or Mises.com, M-I-S-E-S.com. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. WalterBlock.com. And as you said, you're working on a brand new book, a sequel, if you will, to Defending the Undefendable. So looking forward to talking about that when it comes out. And have a great night. Enjoy your weekend. More Free Talk Live is on the way. Yes, sir. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Hour 2 coming up. You bring up anything.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.